This is Upstate's Health Link on Air, Linda Cohen along with you. Well, they used to call it the change, and for most women it truly is a change. It's the end of childbearing years. But menopause and its precursor, perimenopause, can go on for many years. And for some women it's easy, yet for others it's fraught with all kinds of challenging symptoms. And medical science has made matters much worse in recent years, sending conflicting and confusing signals to women as to how best to navigate this time in their lives. Well, joining me with some answers is Heather Shannon. She's a certified nurse midwife and the director of Upstate's Midwifery and Gynecology Program. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So menopause can happen to women in a wide range of ages. What have you seen?
Well, for the most part, in America, most women go through menopause from their late 40s through their early 60s. The average age in America is 51 that women will actually go through menopause. And if you go through menopause before the age of 45, it is considered early menopause.
It sounds that's quite a wide range. That's a 20-year range or more. So obviously, people can continue to go through it. Stretched out over quite a long time, I understand.
Yes, that's correct. Typically, perimenopause lasts 7 to 10 years, and we define menopause as 1 year after the cessation of your period. That's when you are considered menopausal, and from that point on, you are postmenopausal.
So clarify that once again. To be actually in menopause, you have to have had a period, not had a period for an entire year.
For an entire year, correct.
And before that time, there's a lot of starts and stops that go on, and that's all called perimenopause, right?
Correct, yes. And that's about 7 to 10 years of symptoms that a woman could experience.
How does one know? I mean, what's the best way to determine whether you are, in fact, menopausal or perimenopausal, for that matter?
It's all based on symptoms. So, for example, about 90% of women will report having hot flashes. That's a good sign that your estrogen levels are fluctuating. Also, 75% of women will experience night sweats.
It's interesting to me, though, when you say that's a good sign. I think that's part of what I was going to get to next. It sounds to me like that's potentially one of the more challenging symptoms.
And it is. It's uncomfortable for most women, and it is unfortunate to have those symptoms. However, if you're familiar with what a hot flash feels like, there are options for you, which we can talk about a little later, to help us feel better.
What are some of the other medical symptoms that we get with women who are either in peri or in menopause?
About 10% of women will experience depression or anxiety while going through menopause. So many times our partners will say, something's wrong with you. What's going on with you?
How about mood swings?
Mood swings. About 50% of women will end up having mood swings as well. And our partners and our families and friends pick up on that. And believe it or not, 40 to 60% of us will start having sexual symptoms, such as vaginal dryness and a decrease in libido. So that's usually another symptom that we experience that can be very frustrating
for
us.
So what can be done? I mean, obviously you're alluding to the fact that there are some treatments. You know, in recent years, there was the World Health Women's Health Initiative in, 2002, that came out with saying that before that, hormone replacement therapy was the big thing to try to help regulate this whole kind of swing of your hormones. And then they found that this could really lead to increased breast cancer and danger of cancer in general.
Correct, yes. They had to stop the study early because they found that the risks of the estrogen and progesterone therapy increase the risk for breast cancers as well as thromboembolisms, some clots. And that's when they put some guarded restrictions on prescribing hormone replacement therapy for those who are candidates, who are able to take hormone replacement therapy based on family history and personal history.
Is there a safer alternative, though? I mean, as I said, with all of this controversy, people are obviously not using those kinds of treatments now. So what are people using, and what generally do you think is safe?
There are options outside of hormone replacement therapy that you can take from natural food sources such as soy products, wild yams. There's supplements like black cohosh. But there is also something called bioidentical hormones, which are compound hormones. They are estrogens and progesterones as well as testosterones. However, they are phytoestrogens, which means they come from plant-based products.
As opposed to animal.
And they are not manufactured in a pharmaceutical pharmaceutical company or corporation, they are actually compounded, made specifically for your body's needs. And their doses are significantly less than the standard doses you would get from a pharmaceutical company.
Do you find, though, I mean, what's your sense? Do you think they really are safer?
In terms
of... I'm sorry to interrupt you. Just to clarify, so this isn't... Using bioidentical hormones is still hormone replacement. It's just not using the old guard of the what was it called? Premarin?
There's PremPro out there and Premarin, and those are combinations of pregnant mare urine, which is what Premarin means, pregnant mare urine, and that is the hormone that is used in Premarin.
But
products.
Is that still being offered?
It's still being offered. There are still some, there's quite a few of OBGYN providers out there who do still use that because there are women who are candidates who really could benefit from hormone replacement therapy. If you are looking for a more specific alternative option in hormone replacement therapy that still has the same risks of breast cancers as well as thromboembolism and cardiovascular risk, you could try the compounds with a lower dose. So the risks are a little less, however, they're still there. And that's why you need to be evaluated as to whether you are a candidate for this type
what
of replacement.
What are the characteristics or you know qualities that would make you a candidate?
So breast cancer, if you have a personal history of breast cancer or if you have a known breast cancer gene within your family, you are not a candidate. If you have had some cardiovascular events in your life, you are not a candidate. If you had a mother or a sister who had a heart attack under the age of 50, at that point you may not be a candidate and maybe need some further evaluation. Otherwise, if you have stable blood pressure and your cholesterol levels are okay and you don't have any other significant symptoms or illnesses, you may be a candidate.
But the point is you need to be monitored and you need to be evaluated very carefully for them to know exactly what levels you need.
Exactly. And that's where you need to have a relationship with your provider and actually enter into a partnership where you go seek some help for your menopausal symptoms. I do an analysis of your blood to determine what levels are off and where you could use some replacement. And that's where the compounds come into play. As long as you're a candidate for this, the compounds come into play where I can create a program specifically for you. However, you need to take care of yourself. You need to go for your mammograms. You need to go for your annual assessments. Make sure you have your cholesterol screening done, your bone densities. We do blood work initially, and then for a better evaluation of the tissue perfusion of these hormones, in 3 months after you start them, I like to do a saliva test on you. The saliva is going to tell me how much of this hormone is in your actual tissue. So it can tell me whether you are at a higher risk for developing breast cancer or thromboembolisms.
Based on that level?
Based on those levels of saliva testing. So again, it's a partnership.
There were some problems in the news, I remember, probably within the last year, about compounding pharmacies actually creating a problem for people. I mean, how safe can you, I understand they're not even that closely regulated, and the maybe the materials they're using, the consistency of their dosing is a question. So how do you approach this whole thing and feel safe?
Very good point. You have to be very careful as to what pharmacy that compounds medicines that you are using. There are two here in the Syracuse area that are okay and approved by New York State as well as licensed through the compounding organization nationally. So they have to, these two pharmacies that I work with have to meet these specific standards here within New York State as well as with the national organization.
But the bottom line here is that hormone replacement is one choice, and clearly you still have the option of using the animal model, but you can use these phytoestrogens compounded and custom made for you.
Yes.
But you need to be monitored very closely.
Yes.
And watch over kind of what your levels are and what your symptoms are.
Yeah.
What else have you found helps women if they choose not to go the route of hormone replacement therapy?
Well, it's interesting. A lot of women can develop thyroid conditions as they age. It's very common for you in your late 40s into the 50s to develop hypothyroidism, which could present with a lot of symptoms, your fatigue, your memory changes, maybe some changes in your sexual habits. So we need to evaluate your thyroid levels, as well as your adrenals. Your adrenals produce a lot of your steroid hormones, your sex hormones, which is your estrogens, progesterones. Sorry, not your estrogens, but your progesterones and your testosterones. We can evaluate those levels and provide you some adrenal support through just even taking magnesium, as well as taking a vitamin B complex to help support your adrenals, and evaluate your cortisol because it's your stress hormone. So there's other areas we can look into to help you.
And in your experience, what has made the most difference for most of your patients?
Believe it or not, it's not always the estrogen, compounded estrogen. It's the progesterone that seems to help women get some sleep, because insomnia is pretty significant, especially if you're having night sweats. So the progesterone helps us sleep. It also helps control some of that weight gain that we are experiencing. And also it helps provide a protective lining to your uterus so you don't develop endometrial cancer, which estrogen alone can increase those risks.
How do you help people with their emotional or psychological issues that also come up during that time?
What I have found in the past year and a half of doing compound hormone replacement therapy and dealing with perimenopausal women is giving them a sense that there is something that can be done for them, whether they can take hormone replacement therapy or whether I offer them some other suggestions that are outside of that. It gives them a sense of help. When we develop true depression, then there's the other options of medication that we can offer.
Medication, but also perhaps therapy of some kind,
therapy.
Group
mm-hmm.
support and all of that.
Exactly. And to let them know they're not alone and they're not going crazy.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in. These are very important things for women to understand, because all women go through it. And so there's a universality to it. Thanks, Heather. My guest has been Heather Shannon, a nurse practitioner and the director of the Upstate Midwifery and Gynecology Program. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.